Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome to another Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. Actually, welcome to what I would call the new season. The NFL season is obviously over. It seems like 3 months ago right now, not 2 weeks ago. The Chiefs won again. But with the start of the combines, it's really the start of the next league year. It's really the very first activity. So Jacob's here with me here. We're going to chat a lot about combines. Combines is starting this week, and that's the first activity. Then we're going to get into free agency. We've already gotten into some tagging, franchise tag season. And then we get into pro days. Then we're rolling into the draft, and then OTAs and everything else. So the year comes around quickly, but meanwhile, we still have basketball going and March Madness around the corner and a lot of things. But Jacob, let's start with a focus on combines. I know you've got a lot of questions, and yes, guys, as promised, we're going to start our guest series soon, but I feel like combines, you know, I've been there 20 plus times to Indianapolis. I know you have some combine questions and we can talk about combines, but do you make a big deal, Jacob, out of Mike McCarthy, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan not going to combines? Do you think that's big news or no one cares? And is that indicative of the combines are no longer going to be? Or what's your take on every man's take on that?
It seems like that trend's kind of followed the players. Like the players, it came out today that Caleb Williams is not going to throw, and Marvin Harrison's skipping the whole process, it seems like. I mean, he's not doing at his pro day. He's not working out at a combine. So it seems like it's not that it's not useful, but the guys that have been there, done that, don't exactly need to show out.
Let me tell you something. I don't care how many head coaches don't show up. The combine's not going anywhere. And let me give you my thought. On my scale of 1 to 10, newsworthiness that some of these head coaches aren't going is maybe an 8, because it's interesting the head coach isn't going. Factual, does it make any hill of beans difference? It's a 1. Here's why. The combines is for evaluating draft talent. Head coaches are not the draft decision makers. Their position coaches are still all going. The Rams position coaches are going. Sean McVay may not be going, but the position coaches are still going. Each team is still sending its contingent of people. Now, what is unique about combines? It's still all about medical exams. Bill Polian said it, everything. It's all about medical exams. And let me tell you something, Jacob. Nobody refuses medical exams. Now, there are cases where someone says, I just had my knee at surgery. I don't want 32 plus team physicians pulling on my knee. We'll have one doctor do it and you can observe it. That's reasonable. And there are times when they say, I'm fresh off my knee surgery or whatever surgery. You can't examine me, but yes, I'll come back for rechecks.
Right.
Or yes, I'll get an MRI. Yes, you have operative reports. But nobody truly refuses evaluation of the medical exams. Now, you may say, you can't examine my shoulder, but you will still talk to the team physicians about what happened to your shoulder, what symptoms did you have, the operative report, the pictures, this, that, the other. So you're still participating in the medical examinations, even if you're not doing every medical test, and nobody refuses medical. But the medical is still the most important thing, because you remember, you can still get a player's ability off of film.
Right.
You can still get a player's availability and rateability off of the pro day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not uncommon that people don't work out. I'll let you in on another story. Back in the day, like I said, I've been to 20 plus combines. You know, you do the questionnaires. Are you running? Are you working out? No, I'm not running. I'm not doing the 40. Okay. I tweaked my hamstring. And literally, I would ask the guy, is this a real hamstring or is this an agent hamstring? Is this just, I prefer to run at pro day under my circumstances, or is this real, right? And sometimes I'd say, well, you know, if you tell me it's real, we might have to get an MRI. Oh, yeah, it's an agent hamstring.
That's when you get the real answer, yeah.
You know, and so I don't know why it's news that Caleb Williams isn't going to throw. Mm-hmm. I think it's news that Michael Penix will throw. Tradition has it the top guys don't throw.
Right.
They want to throw to their circumstances, their wide receivers that they're used to. They're like, literally, you're just meeting these guys. You don't know what kind of routes they run and the other things, and they want to look good. Caleb Williams cannot help his draft stock by working out at the combine. He could keep it the same. He could cement it. He could hurt it.
Yeah.
He can't help it. So I don't blame him / his agent for saying, I'm not going to throw. Marvin Harrison Jr. Look, if he doesn't work out at all, is it going to hurt his draft stock? No. So why do it? And not to mention which, there has been at combines and pro days weird injuries that sometimes happen, right? I mean,
David Ojabo, I believe.
David Ojabo tore his Achilles. There's Sidney Jones, Washington, a couple years ago, tore his Achilles on a back pedal. At combines, I hope it doesn't happen. Pretty much every year, somebody tears their pec doing the bench press.
Right.
You know, the max bench press. Max rep bench press. Hopefully that won't happen now that I say that. But yes, injuries can and do happen. And what's the upside? It's a risk reward analysis. Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't need to do anything. It's not news. Caleb Williams doesn't need to throw here. It's not news. It's probably a good idea for Caleb Williams to throw to his own receivers at his USC pro day in controlled circumstances. But whether they throw well or don't throw well, I mean, does it really change? And so let's get back to the head coaches. I don't think it's big news at all that the head coaches aren't there. In my time when I was there, we met with the GM or whoever was in charge of the draft right after every day. Who's this guy? This guy, you know, news hot off the press in terms of medical. And yes, but the head coach might have been in the suite or the box, but they weren't in that meeting that we had. You know, they were mostly from afar watching the underwear Olympics. But, you know, you have scouts and timers and this, that, the other. What do you really get off of that? And, you know, there's TV coverage as well. I mean, you're looking at film. Do you have to in-person scout these people? And are these head coaches even the decision makers? It's important for the position coaches to go. because there's 330 kids at the combines usually, and not all of them get drafted. So what happens on day three, as you get to the lower rounds, phone calls start flying. The wide receiver coach is calling his free agent saying, hey, if you don't get drafted, we'd love to have you here. We'd love to have you here. That's where the back end of filling out the 90 is where coaches have some say and sway. That ain't Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Sean McVay ain't calling the wide receiver, the backup, the defensive tackle that's not being selected. The D-line coaches, they're all going to combines. Obviously, all the scouts and all the personnel people. And of course, all the medical people. Name one GM that's not going to be there. Okay? Come on. Name one decision maker in the draft room, final decision maker that isn't going to be there. It's for the draft. Look, does Sean McVay go on the road to scout Alabama versus Georgia? No.
Yeah.
Does Kyle Shanahan? No. So to me, all this, they're not going. The combine's not dead. It's just, and the other thing that I would have to say, from what I've observed at the combine, and I hear it's worse now. And every year I talk about maybe going, and this year we have a family ski trip. I'm not going.
Conveniently timed.
Accidentally timed. You know what it's timed by? It has nothing to do with me. It's timed by the intersection of my 11-year-old daughter's cheer schedule. She just had a big tournament or competition in Vegas. Uh-huh. And so there's a little tiny bit of a lull. And the kind of beginning and offset time of my son's Little League, not Little League, Pony League, but Bronco baseball season, 11-year-old baseball season. As a matter of fact, we were leaving tomorrow, the whole family, to go to Montana to ski. And my wife changed the flight for her and my son because they've got a game tomorrow afternoon. We leave at 5:10. He's got a game at 4. And so for the 1 hour overlap, he rebooked to the whole next day. And you're going to waste a day of the vacation. I'm going with the girls early. So it has to do with that. It has nothing to do with the combines. I have been a little leery about going to the combines. And I've been there 20 plus times. And, you know, St. Elmo's, okay, the shrimp cocktail, whatever. I mean, I went in the day when all they had was St. Elmo's and Ike's and Jonesy's. Now there's Prime. There's the Shoal Shopping Mall, the indoor habit trails that connect everything. And we'll talk about Indy again later. But my point is, I've been hesitant to go because we deal in insider knowledge, not insider information. If I weren't doing media stuff, I probably could get invited as a guest to go back into the combine process behind the curtains. But I'm certainly, A, not going to do that, and B, won't be invited, since if I'm media-related,
right,
you don't want to deal in insider information, just insider knowledge. And we can do that from afar. And there's a lot of networking that happens there, but I'm not sure what I'd be networking for. But that brings me to my final point as to why head coaches may not be going. A couple of things. Yes, they maybe want to participate in some of the interviews, but post-COVID, Zoom has become a norm. So Zoom interviews, okay, so you don't look the guy in the eye and shake his hand, but they're not bad.
Right.
And combines are tiring. Used to go, you know, we would be there medically at 7 a.m. and even coaches would be there, workouts and whatever. Then we'd have afternoon medical meetings with the team, and then we'd have some evening functions that are medical research related. And then, of course, you throw in a dinner there, and then there might be a cigar lounge, something. I mean, it's a long day and process. And I've seen plenty of head coaches around, out and about, always traveling with an entourage. And the combines has also become a scene like Senior Bowl has. You know, people work the lobbies of the hotels, whether it's agents and meeting people or a guy who's trying to get a coaching job or something, something to pitch or sell. These coaches can't walk through the lobby without getting not accosted, but like approached by a lot of people.
It's an epicenter of coaching, talent, and all that stuff.
And look, these coaches are all nice guys at heart. They don't like telling 36 people, thanks for your resume, but no, or I'll get back to you. Like, yeah. like they're at the pinnacle when you're a head coach. You have a lot of people kind of coming at you. And so I think the reasons why some head coaches are not going are, number one, their head coaching job is all consuming. They don't, number two, they don't get a lot out of combines because they're not the draft decision makers anyways. What little they get, they can get from Zoom. They still send their position coaches and obviously all the decision makers in the draft, but also I think it's less hassle besides going to Indy and the hours spent. But also a lot of people tell you on Superman's cape at the combines. I've seen it. And so I think that's another reason. And it's sort of, you know, other than Mike McCarthy, it's sort of that ex-Washington assistant coach crew, right? It's
right.
Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay, a few others, but that the new age
right.
kids, so to speak. I guess I can say kids. But I don't think it's newsworthy at all that they're not going. It would be newsworthy if the team refused to send anybody yeah. to go. That the it'd be newsworthy if a GM didn't go or scouts didn't go or other position. The head coach not going is not newsworthy from my perspective for that reason.
Right. Well, to get to the medical aspect, we have the Michael Penix Jr. Kind of early preview. I mean, we take all the information from the draft process and combine it with the previous injury history. But want to talk about kind of with the Tyree Wilson example of last year, are any red flags, quote unquote, red flags universal, or is it open to interpretation by the team?
Okay. Let me put it back to you this way.
Yeah.
There are a few things that are absolutely universal. It's pretty clear to some scouts that a certain player is not draftable as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But as to who is the top quarterback is up to question.
Right.
I mean, our guy, my guy, Philip Rivers. By the way, I talked to Philip again this weekend. He is so funny. I actually have to follow up on it. Every time he's got a high school kid that has some sort of issue, he calls me. Hey, what do you think? You know, this guy has a hip. Can I connect you with the dad? he's hilarious.
He's all in with the coaching. So
he is all in with the coaching. And actually, we got to get Philip on. Yeah, Philip will be one of absolutely. The people on. And the tease for Philip is I did talk to him this time about the potential comeback and whatever. And suffice it to say, I gave him my thought process as to the conditions where he would have come back and this, that, the other, and what means something to him. And he replied with one word, absolutely. So we'll talk about that. He goes, yeah, that's you great. Hit the nail on the head. But anyways, getting back to it, it's not the reason why I brought up Philip Rivers. He had a funky throwing motion. Was it universal that he would not make it in the NFL or that he would make it yeah. in the NFL? There were some different opinions, right? It obviously worked out fine. So there's a lot of opinion in gray area. To be clear, I have never seen Tyree Wilson's X-ray, CT scan, or MRI. And I am not saying that he was a bad draft pick. All we were saying is if Tyree Wilson and Will Anderson were equivalent players,
right,
you're going to get something out of Will Anderson early, and there are no yellow flags. I won't say red flags,
right, but
caution flags. There's no worry. You're drafting a guy with a clean medical history, and if he's equivalent to the next guy who's not, there you go. And obviously, Will Anderson had a pretty good year. Tyree Wilson with the Raiders did not do very much of anything. I don't know that that's necessarily predictive of this coming year, but it certainly is predictive of the draft process if you assume that they're even. And so very few, at most one out of the 330 players will get a medical grade, meaning that they're not draftable. You got to understand, they played good football to get here.
Yeah.
To say that they're just not draftable, period. Maurice Hurst. Remember there was a scout that said, oh, it's malpractice that the Raiders drafted him and this, that. It's like, no, no, they can get a clearance. Obviously, he's gone to a nice NFL career, Raiders and then post-Raiders and so forth. Remember his heart condition.
Right.
And every year you're going to hear about two, three guys that are not allowed to work out until they get their heart condition further delineated.
Right.
And most times, thankfully, it turns out okay. They're just being safe. They don't want anyone dropping dead at combines. But beauty often is in the eye of the beholder. It's risk-reward relationship. You know, even when you're judging talent, now, on a guaranteed $40 million contract, maybe I don't want that guy.
Right.
But on a minimum, when Denver is paying Russell Wilson's dime, maybe I want Russell Wilson, right? I mean, it's all medically relative. And was Tyree Wilson a red flag? Only in the sense of you better stop before you draft him.
Right.
Not a red flag that he wasn't draftable. That's a different story.
Yeah. Just altogether. Is he worth the risk at the same position?
It's all relative risk, right? In the right round, they're worth the right price because they are all talented to have been invited to the combine. And this is where the art of medicine is. Most people think it's clearance is binary. Yes, right. No. It's not binary. Yes, no. There's a lot of gray involved. And same with talent evaluation of players. There are a few things where you say this guy just can't play football, or this guy medically can't play football, or from a scouting perspective can't play football, and you might find unanimous agreement. But there's way more in the gray area of relative risk, and it really just depends. And look, GMs are going to draft who they want to draft. I mean, I talked to a bunch of them. I think they considered what we said, but I can cite examples that I have where someone has said, no, we're signing that guy anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I said, medically, he's got a very low grade, but
I had that on here. You had any recent examples or examples that you think that stuck out? You're like, oh, that's an interesting choice, or that wasn't in line with what I saw.
Well, okay. When I was in the NFL, there were examples. When I actually saw a player and examined him, and there were some differences of opinions. Now you got to understand, I'm not examining them and looking at their MRI.
Right.
So, you know, if Tyree Wilson was drafted ahead, maybe there's a reason. Maybe they cleared him on his foot. Maybe my worries about his foot weren't real, right? There's a difference between an exam. One time, years ago, I talked to someone in the front office who says, oh, I'm interested in what you're doing. Can you help us decide who to draft or who to sign? Like, I could, but that's the job of your team physician. If your team physician, who gets to look at the medical records, who gets to examine the player, is not better than me from looking from afar, you better replace your team physician. I mean, having me opine from afar is not the way to go about it.
Yeah.
Like, when I was in the NFL doing stuff, you'd hear reports of, you know, the agent would put out, well, the player surgeon said he'll have no problems. I mean, okay, let's go back to Sidney Jones, University of Washington, a couple years ago. Eagles drafted him up early, and his doctor said, he'll be running by training camp. He'll be doing everything. I'm like, and what did we say? We said, he's lucky to get any part of this season. I think he got eligible to player in December, maybe just to get a little experience. I mean, the whole spin, look, you've never heard a doctor who did a player surgery. Okay. Have you ever heard of a GM declare the draft a failure after it happened? They all say the draft was great. Have you ever heard
32 successful drafts every year?
Have you ever heard of a surgeon say, or an agent say, the surgeon said the surgery was a failure? No, the surgery was a success. Well, how do you judge a draft? Over time. How do you judge a surgery? Over time.
Right.
Yet everyone declares it as a success. So you have to consider the source. You call it coach speak. I guess you could say agent speak. You could say doctor speak.
Right.
Got to understand. If the surgeon or the doctor can only say something about a player. Now, I say a lot of things about players, but I make it clear It's not a HIPAA violation. It's not from insider information. But if you have insider information, you have to get permission from the patient to say anything,
right,
good or bad. You think they're going to give you permission to say something bad? It's not happening. And you would be cutting your own throat. Have you ever heard of a trainer say, my athlete doesn't always work hard? It's always, he's the hardest worker. He's the fastest healer, right? You're not going to have a doctor getting the okay from the agent and player to speak on a guy's condition without it being glowing.
Right.
It's like in the real world, you're going to ask someone to write a letter of recommendation for you that you don't think is going to be positive. No. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. Right. And so that's how that this whole thing works a little bit.
Yeah. We got a whole list of players. So head to sixcore.com throughout the next couple of weeks. We'll have draft profiles.
And I will have to say this, that I think the NFL has done a good job of clamping down on leaks.
Right.
I mean, leaks of wonder.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Leak scores, leaks of medical conditions. I think they've done a good job of clamping down on it. But we'll follow the news of what's publicly available. I still remember the story of Jalen Smith.
Right.
He was walking. He had that horrible knee injury at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And he was walking. He posted a video of himself walking into a weight room 5 or 6 weeks after surgery. This is before the combine. And he said, "No more brace. I'm doing great." And because he posted the video himself, it made it fair, I think, to comment on it. And I said, okay, no knee brace, but what about that AFO indicating a foot drop and a nerve palsy in your foot, peroneal nerve, right? And I still remember a New York reporter asked him about it at Combine. And he said, well, Dr. Chow, former Tino, says you've got a nerve. And people said, oh, cost that kid millions of dollars. No, I didn't. 32 NFL teams examine him and they know for a fact he's got a foot drop. They didn't need me to tell him the day before. When I was doing the job, I didn't look at media reports of what someone else said about him. I got to examine him. I didn't even worry about it. So anything that we do, we didn't cost Tyree Wilson anything. Players, teams get to touch and examine them and see the truth. They're not relying on me. They're dumb if they want to rely on an outside source that hasn't seen a guy, et cetera. So we don't cost anyone anything. It's a lot of jockeying and whatever. We're trying to reveal the truth where we can. It is hard because information can be scarce. I'd love to see. The problem is a lot of these injured guys aren't working out, so I can't go by video, right, of how they're doing. So you have to do second hand, third hand, what was the surgery from college, and sort of project. And that's what we did with Tyree Wilson. And we'll keep on the lookout. Right now, we've got some stuff on Michael Penix. We're gathering the list of other people. More information will come this week, but that's kind of the deal.
Yeah, an interesting one we're going to look at is Jonathan Brooks, the Texas running back. One of our staff pointed out that the surgeon who repaired his ACL was also the Cowboys surgeon. So I don't know if that gives them a leg up on knowing his recovery or whatever, but we'll dig into that a little bit.
Oh, and you know, it's the Cowboys speculation machine, right? They need a running back. Here's a top running back.
Here's one link to them that maybe,
Here's what I would say to that. And I say this in the kindest of ways because I do respect the Cowboys surgeon. Okay. And he is a guy that does do second opinions and surgeries. And so he's a good surgeon, the whole deal. Didn't the Cowboys have the advantage on aforementioned Jalen Smith that their doctor did the surgery?
Same situation.
Similar, he was going to be okay. And he was a surprise top of the second round draft when I think the prevailing opinion was day three at best. How did that work out?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he did okay a little bit, but it didn't work out that well. So the bottom line is everyone will have access to the information and they can each make their own decisions. And I don't see it as a huge advantage that one, the Cowboys surgeon, because the agent isn't going to suppress information. Agent's going to get all the information out to all the 32 teams and the player is too. They're not going to suppress it just so that the Cowboys can have a better shot at drafting Brooks. So I think it's a non-story once again.
Well, like you said, medical, all those articles will be up at sixcore.com. You can sign up for notifications or our newsletter to make sure you don't miss any of those. I wanted to ask you, Doc, since you've been to Indy so many times, you make anything of them not having the contract in Indy beyond next year?
Yes.
That what do you make of it?
Leverage.
Because I want to know, do you think any other city could handle the medical aspect?
Let's talk about leverage. Yeah. Okay. So Taylor's sitting here. That was a nice Super Bowl media party, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
It was one of the better ones. It was at the F1
garages.
Yeah. They did a great job. You know how much the NFL paid for that?
Zero.
Zero. The host committee took care of that. And they had a big Asian New Year celebration and they gave away some booths. That's called sponsors. That's called community. The food service. I mean, look, the NFL is just saying, Indy, what are you going to give us to come back? And it's not even the NFL.
Right.
It's the combine is technically not the NFL.
Really?
It's not. The combine is not the NFL. It's a separate group. They're saying, Indy, what will you give us? Mm. Like any Super Bowl bit. Okay, how much police force revenue? How much security? How much meeting space? How much convention space? How many hotel rooms at what guaranteed price? Right. How much this? Honestly, it even includes landing spots for private aircraft in the Super Bowl bid. Like, that's why Taylor Swift was going to get one, because the NFL controlled them all. They were going to give her one, right? No one else private person could get one because the NFL had them all for the owners, and each team has more than one owner's plane and coming, and right, the whole deal. It's all part of the bid process. Now, as far as your question, why Indy? The history was, prior to this, it was in New Orleans. They felt that that wasn't a good fit. New Orleans, okay.
You can pick your reason.
Yeah. And why is it called combine? It used to be regional, and then they combined it into one big set. That's how it's called combine, okay? And Indy, why do they pick Indy? I'll tell you why. Number one, if you look at a map of the NFL, it's very northeast centric, and Indy, in terms of miles flown or driven, is not a bad location in terms of being relatively central. Mm-hmm. I would love it to be in Chicago. having been in San Diego all those years, because then you can take a nonstop flight. There's no such thing as a San Diego to Indy nonstop. Yeah. Well, ATA had one, but it was one time. But it's harder to get into and out of. But what you have to have is a central location with a major airport, surrounding hotels, convention center for rooms adjacent to the stadium, an indoor stadium with controlled situation, plus a very cooperative hospital medical system within easy, close access. And Indy was more of a sleepy town to begin with. Now, Chicago, I don't know. Downtown Chicago would be a mess, and there's no adjacent stadium. Like Indy, you walk to everything. Chicago, you don't have all those confluences. Could Detroit maybe do it? Maybe you got to get the medical side, but I don't think there's a convention center attached to the Lions Stadium. Whereas in Indy, you know, their NC2A headquarters, they have convention space attached to everything. And that's why it's been the perfect setup. You could imagine other things, but you need the stadium, the conference room, the hotels. Like, you couldn't do it in Green Bay. I mean, there aren't the hotel space there. You know, you don't want to do it in LA, although I think
they're throwing out LA and Vegas as some leak names, whatever, but
Vegas could do it because they have the infrastructure, the hotel room, the indoor stadium, and the convention space nearby, you know, the stadium for but the medical component is a beast. And the other thing about Vegas is, okay, then you're getting into nightlife issues again, but it's also not convenient to the teams because Indy's centric to the teams. You talk about LA because LA, you can't do it in New York. It could maybe in New Jersey, but LA is kind of the new NFL hotspot central. But you might be able to put some things together there, but once again, geographically, that's why Indy works. That's why it's been. And I'm sure a lot of this is, okay, what are you going to give us? Right? Kind of thing. It'll go wherever the NFL wants it to go.
Don't know that Vegas is going to give up as much as Indy would to keep the combine there.
Yeah, Vegas can host other conventions.
Yeah.
It's, you know. Yeah, but it's just negotiations.
So if they move to a different city, I feel like they would have to, like, change the schedule or the entire format of it. Like you said,
it's a scheduling beast, right? Yeah. Not only do they have the hospitals cooperative, now they have, you know, I don't know, a half dozen or more MRI trucks parked in the state.
Yeah, I can't imagine the
number. So you don't have to go off campus even, kind of thing. And they've done a better job. They're pre-screening them ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Each team gets 10 players, so 32 teams. 10 or 11 players, 330 guys that the head athletic trainer and their staff screens them, gets the right test at them to cut down on the process. But it's a behemoth. It's a logistical nightmare.
And medical is the reason why the combine was even created, right? So they need to make sure that it medical.
I don't know that medical was the reason it was created. Mm-hmm. Remember, you could do medical on a regional basis.
Right.
Once they combined it to one location, it has become, like I said, the most important, only because it's the only place you get medical. You don't typically get medical anywhere else, certainly not the pro days,
right,
in the interviews and other things. So that's where it's become the big thing.
I want to move on to basketball. If you have any more indie memories, feel free to share them throughout the pod, but we got a hyper focus on basketball. I want to mention anybody that wants to follow on our sick picks. We're doing them for the second half of the NBA season. We're doing them all season, but we do have a guarantee for this Sunday, four-game slate that we have picked out. So sign up at sickscore.com, head to Sick Picks, and we don't have a winning day on Sunday. That's your money back.
I get people are like, Sports Injury Central, Pro Football Doc. First of all, we've got former Chicago Bulls doctor on staff, and we've got other doctors. I've worked basketball. I've done stuff with the Bulls and Timberwolves, et cetera. I wasn't a head team physician for 17 years. That's why it's not pro basketball, Doc. So I have experience in all these other sports, just not as great as in football. And so that's kind of why we do what we do. But the interesting thing that for basketball, as we've done it the last 3 years, is that, so we you know, we do a lot on cluster injuries, mm-hmm. and there's 22 starters, offense and defense. How many people do you think realize that we have 12 starters on defense on our field views?
Yeah, there's been a few comments, but less than I'd expect. Yeah.
Because we think the slot corner is so important. We put three corners up there. So there's 12. Okay. Kind of a situation. And on offense, we do three wide receivers, one tight end spot, and one running back spot. But that's the 11. Okay. Yeah. But on defense, we do 12. We do a lot of cluster injuries. Is it O-line more than one, D-line or DBs or whatever? And when there's 22, 23, however you want to call it, 22 players, there's five starters in an NBA game. And they play offense and defense, each starter. So it's five versus 22. Each NBA starter is 4.5 injuries. So that's where the NBA is actually more actionable, downstream prop-wise and otherwise, when there's just even one injury.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if your injury is to your power forward rebounder, that affects it. It's like having an injury to your offensive line more than one, or defensive line more than one. So that's where we found actually basketball is more actionable based off of injuries and knowing when they come back and what have you.
Yeah, especially this deep in the season, you got teams like the Knicks that have Julius Randle, OG Anunoby out. They had Brunson out for a little bit. He's back, but still have the Mitchell Robinson out center. So
Julius Randle, like, he hasn't returned yet, has he?
I actually have it on here because he came back and he's made some interesting comments, not ruling out surgery now. He said he's had a bunch of opinions, but he's kind of hinting, oh, you know, I have to do the right thing for my career, longevity, that type of stuff. So,
we've been saying from the get-go, look, there are 2-3 guys in every NFL team that wears a strap and finishes off the season and has surgery to end the season. But with restricted shoulder motion, you can play most or a lot of positions in the NFL. Right. You can't play NBA basketball with a harness on. And if you don't have the harness on, your shoulder is going to redislocate, chances are. So once we said Julius Randle dislocated his shoulder and that got confirmed, that means labral tear, we felt he wasn't coming back this season. But the Knicks put out 1 month he'll be back.
Right. Well, they choose their words wisely. They say reevaluated. They don't say we'll be back after 4 weeks. They say we're going to reevaluate in 4 weeks.
Reevaluated.
Yeah, it's reevaluation time in the NBA, and that has to do with record at this point. I think it's smart because they buy themselves an extra couple weeks to officially make a decision.
Yeah, I just don't believe Julius Randle, even with it being his, quote, off shoulder, being how he plays and what he does, that he can be effective and come back without having surgery. I don't see it. Could he for a limited period of time? Maybe. You know, you're playing a little bit of Russian roulette,
right?
As if it's worth the risk, etc. But and that's one thing. There are certainly lots of times that we end up being wrong. But this is why we don't delete tweets mm-hmm. or delete articles or whatever. If the news comes out against us, we usually hold our position, and either the position, it comes back around to our position, which is, I don't think Julius Randle's coming back, even though the Knicks were hinting at it, or, you know, it's possible that we're wrong too. But like I said, it's being wrong when you're inside the building or doing an exam and looking at the MRI is a huge no-no. Being wrong now and again when you're outside the building, We'll take it. I mean, it is what it is.
Another one in the reevaluation zone, I'm going to call it, is Trae Young underwent finger surgery on his left pinky on his left hand. I think they said torn radial collateral ligament, and they said reevaluate in 4 weeks. Is that a realistic timeline?
Six is probably the best case or earliest. I mean, it's his offhand. Could he play buddy taped? I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
as a main ball handler?
Yeah.
Probably not. Yeah.
Difficult. So
if you had the 2 extra weeks, you start ending a season.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing they don't want to do, right? That's why they limit the weeks to a certain point.
Well, like I keep saying, 4 weeks. Look, do you ever hear a medical report saying, you often hear 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You often hear 4 weeks. You will hear 6 weeks. You never hear five. You never hear three. If it's three, it's 2 to 4.
Yeah.
Or it's 2 or it's 4.
Do people not like odd numbers? Or what is that?
It's kind of like saying, I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or give me 15 minutes. It's just natural increments.
Right.
Nobody says, I'll be back in 12 minutes. Yeah. Okay. you get what I mean? Yeah. I mean, half an hour. It's just the natural tone of things. 3 to 5.
Yeah.
People just don't say 4 to 6, 2 to 4.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just something that
2 to 4 sounds better than about a month. Cause if you think it's about a month, it's like, oh, okay, it's going to be longer than a month.
Yeah. And everyone uses different nomenclature, right. but that's like saying, okay, going back to airline, when your flight's delayed and it's a 7:12 AM flight and they say departure time, 8 o'clock. No, that's check back with me at 8 o'clock. That's
less than 10%. Yeah.
And then they say 9 o'clock. It's check back. When they say 9:30, you're getting closer. When they say 9:37, that's when you're leaving. Okay. That's my experience with airlines too. I mean, that's just, okay. You gotta stay kind of close to the gate. 8 o'clock,
yeah.
You know, then it's 9 o'clock. Because if they just said 9 o'clock to begin with, you'd scatter. And then if it happened to move up, you'd miss your flight and it'd be a disaster. So they just kind of string you along a little bit. And that's what teams do. It is what it is.
I think it's always interesting to remember that these are the publicly reported timelines. It's not like they're telling Trey Young, hey, 4 to 6. They're probably telling him more specific, like, hey, we think it's going to, the swelling is going to be down in 4, and then we'll
see and what's happening. There. But it's what's being told to the public is not always the same thing.
Well, we had an internal debate just to finish off. Kyle Filipowski for Duke, the center, 7-foot center, injured during the court storm. I'm sure people have seen the clip. If not, you can head to X, Twitter, Pro Football Doc. Injured his right knee with the fan running into him, or maybe extending his leg out to trip the fan. There's a lot of Twitter theories, okay, as there always are.
All right. First of all, when you all first showed it to me, I don't know, maybe someone from Barstool, Texas. I don't know. They were somewhere. And I was on my phone, and I was like, at first, I will admit, I was at Suns baseball practice. Like, yeah, he didn't hurt his elbow there. There's nothing there. And then upon closer look, computer and otherwise, oh, that's his right knee.
Mm-hmm.
But I still said, he's hurt, not injured.
Right.
Hurt is real.
Right.
Okay. And look, to his defense, I mean, the court is his. He's mad that he lost the game. And he has a right to say, what the F are all these people doing here? They don't belong here. Okay. If someone walked into our conference room studio right now, we'd look at them.
Yeah.
If 4 people ran in, we might put up our arms and say, what are you doing? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this is his office, is the court, and a couple hundred kids running onto it from all sides. And look, he's a 7-footer. He's probably a little gangly, whatever. I think his knee injury / hurt, not injured, is real. I think it is completely unfair to say that he hit the guy first. Okay, first of all, if you're standing in a grocery store line and 3 people start cutting in front of you, you're like, hey, what are you doing, right? I mean, especially if they're running at you, it's called self-defense. Second of all, does he start to put his elbow and arm up before contact? Yeah, I think so. Maybe, or it's close.
Right.
But if you freeze frame it, and feel free to run it back here, the moment his right knee is hit, he is not making forcible contact with his forearm.
He's not leaning forward or putting anything.
I'm looking at it.
Okay, freeze it the second that his knee, you can make it bigger too.
I could.
Freeze it the second that his right knee is run into. Okay, back up. It's already been hit. Okay, here comes the guy randomly. He's putting up his forearm, right? Advance it a frame. Answer fake. Where's their more forcible contact? His knee or the elbow? No, that forearm.
And he's going directly at him as well. He's running right towards him, right?
And he's like, get away from me.
Yeah.
But the contact happens forcibly to his knee, much more forcibly than Then and then the rest of the elbow and forearm contact, he's just falling forward, like, get away from me. What's happening, right?
He said he took multiple hits to the body, but the knee was the one that hurt the most.
Yes, that's the one that hurt him right there. But as he stumbles around and he's and it looks like some people say he's flailing at, no, he's like, oh, shoot, I don't want to fall down. I hit my knee kind of thing. I'm on his side, man. I don't want to be a curmudgeon and say you should never storm the court and this, that, the other.
Yeah.
I get enthusiasm and all that, but that's a safety issue for
there's got to be a better way to do it to at least get the opposing players out of the way first.
What about if you're the favorite team? Should you not bum rush the court?
The Wake Forest was favored.
Because I'm a Duke fan, so it might sound like that. They were favored by 2.5, so I would be like, why are you court storming? You were supposed to win. That's my rule.
Why is an unranked team favored over a number 8 team in the country?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. First of all, you're in college, and you're enthusiastic for your team. Yeah. And it's Duke, so it's Duke, the big bad boys. Big rivals, look, I don't know what their record Duke has been. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, right? Clearly, you don't want to get players hurt, but I don't want to be dampening enthusiasm kind of thing.
It's part of the college experience and stuff,
But you can't have – look, I really hope that our video thought is right, that he's really not injured. He's just hurt a little bit.
Yeah, they have four regular season games remaining before the ACC tournament. So you think definitely back for ACC tournament?
I would be shocked if he's not 100% for ACC tournament.
Gotcha.
Does he get a game or two off? I don't know. Right. It's possible.
Well,
but
with that loss, they do actually need him for those four games.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so they might miss a game at all, right?
But I could see Duke being unhappy, almost to prove a point.
Milking it a little bit, It does look bad if he returns and scores 30 in the game after he was supposedly hurt in the court storm.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is, but I don't blame the kid at all, the 7-footer at all. I mean, he's just self-defense and the whole deal. Now, do you agree with me yet, or do you still think?
I still think he initiated a little bit, but you're right.
It's reactionary. Okay. I don't think it's premeditated.
If he does what he does with his forearm without the knee, anything, is he not justified? There's people coming out. What's happening here? Right. I mean, I think he's justified. I think he's justified. Yeah. He didn't strike out. I mean, you know, I think he's justified. Yeah. I don't think he meant any harm.
I think what you said, though, like, it's his office. You're in his office. That resonates. So
yeah,
I'll give you that.
Well, all right. I'll retell my Troy Polamalu story. I meant no harm to Troy Polamalu, and I couldn't harm him anyways. But he came 8-10 yards deep into the sideline, my quote office. He was coming at me hard. And I didn't want to get knocked over, so I put up my forearm. And if I just put up an arm bar, he's going to knock me over. So I kind of, as he came, pushed a little bit. Meanwhile, Troy Polamalu stops on a freaking dime as soon as he sees me. And I didn't even need to put my arm up. I could have just stayed there, and he would have avoided me because he's that good of an athlete. Meanwhile, as he does, my reaction already went, and on film, it looks like I'm just giving him a forearm shiver. My Chargers, the players high-fived me the next day after they saw it on film. They said, oh, good job, in the film room. It was self-defense. I didn't mean any harm to the guy. I just didn't, and that's what I always say on the sideline. Now, that's not the case here. These random guys.
Right, that's on the court.
He's not even looking at Filipowski or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He's looking to find his teammate or his friend or his classmate or jump in a crowd. So you're not even looking. Okay. My whole thing on the sideline is kind of like the bull. You got to move laterally. Going backwards, they're faster than you are. That's like the bullfighter, laterally. Okay. But here's the other point I'd say. If the player doesn't see you, you better move. The wash is coming hard. If the player sees you, just don't move. They're good enough athletes.
You're going to screw them up by moving. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to and cut right around you if they see you.
Yeah.
And in this case, I didn't think Polamalu saw me, but he did look up last second to see me and avoided me easily. But instead, I So I got to side with him. That was an unintentional forearm shiver from me. It's just like this
firsthand experience. Filipowski
kid, you know. So I side with him.
That's good. Yeah, we got a MLB, some MLB action too. Obviously, a little bit not as traumatic as far as non-contact stuff, but more arm wear and tear. We got piece on Kodai Senga up, so tracking all that stuff as football season, the new football season ramps up and the other sports continue.
Got it. We're gonna finish off with a beast of the week.
Yeah,
who do you got? You guys got any?
Is it Cam Newton?
I'm gonna, look. That was mine. I'm not going Cam Newton.
No.
Okay. Cam Newton is a beast.
Yeah.
I've told the story before. When he was here for combine training, pre-combine training, he had an MRI, and the radiologist called me and said, who is this guy? I said, what do you mean? It's Cam Newton. Said, who is this guy? I said, what do you mean? He goes, he's the biggest psoas muscles I ever seen in my life, hip flexor muscles.
Yeah.
Because power running, high knees. I was like, yeah, well, he's a beast. Yeah. Cam Newton. Cam Newton is a beast. But Cam Newton is not my beast of the week. First of all, you understand, like Cam Newton, even though he's not playing the NFL, he's still in better shape and whatever than any other Yahoo that's out there in life.
Not a normal human.
Especially one that might have been, who knows, you know? Well, I don't even know the whole circumstance. Right. But he couldn't bring him to the ground. He kept his feet. But
you could put him in a UFC cage and he'd do all right.
I'm not going to make Cam Newton the beast of the week here because I expect that out of Cam. Right. He's Cam Newton. You know what I'm going to make the beast of the week?
Who?
His hat. How does it not fall off? Yeah. He's tumbling around. Yeah. The hat stayed on.
I don't know how that stayed on.
We need some video analysis on the hat.
How did the hat stay on? The hat is the beast of the week.
No punches and the hat stayed on.
The hat stayed on. Go look at the video. How did that happen?
He's wrestling three guys at once and the hat's perfectly
still.
I already knew.
All right. You saw Cam for the first time in person. I've seen him in person. Yeah. He's a beast. Seen in person, didn't like, he's a beast. I know he's a beast.
Yeah.
This video of him, no one can bring him. I know that. That's dog bites, man. No big deal. Okay. I mean, that hat, it's Cam Newton, but I don't know how that hat stayed on. You got to look at that one. That's my beast of the week. The hat hung on for, and didn't even, I don't think he'd even moved.
No.
Anyways,
that's pretty good.
All right, combine week here. We'll break news as it happens and the analysis. And the other thing that I'm told is that there's a heck of a lot of betting now on draft picks. So here we go again, the wagering world. But we'll see. We don't try and manufacture something. We'll have to let the news come to us on injuries, and we'll go from there. So Pro Football Doc, Sports Injury Central podcast here. Thanks for watching and listening.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.